Now you know. We're glad that you're here. Certainly there's maybe some who are visiting with us today, and we're thankful that you're here as well. Remember Dayton, he'll be going to the doctor tomorrow afternoon, to the surgeon actually, hoping to schedule gallbladder surgery before too long. So we need to be praying for him as well. Many years ago, my father preached in Nederland, Texas. And he had a friend who preached at the South Park Church of Christ in Beaumont. Dad and his friend would sometimes play golf together. And occasionally I would go out with them tagging along. And some of you may have heard of this friend. His name was Jack Exum. Jack was a red-headed Irishman. He had a temper, and he was somewhat eccentric. When Becky and I lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, we heard Jack speak at the Brainerd Church of Christ, and he was really into object lessons. And on that occasion, he shot a starter gun and nearly caused several heart attacks within the church, as you can imagine. I have no idea what his point was, but I remember him shooting that gun. When he was in Beaumont, he preached one of those U-Haul sermons. And for those who do not know what a U-Haul sermon is, it is when a preacher delivers a really convicting sermon on Sunday and wakes up to find a U-Haul in front of his house on Monday morning and he didn't order it. On a Sunday morning, the South Park members arrived at worship service and they found a casket in front of the podium. Jack preached a scathing sermon about apathy. He said that a member of that congregation had died and no one cared enough even to know who it was. And toward the end of the sermon, he opened the casket. He insisted that each member pass by it. And as the members passed by the casket, they saw a mirror that reflected their own image. And that's why he had a U-Haul in front of his house on Monday. Are you dead or are you spiritually alive? You're spiritually dead if you haven't become a Christian. That should be fairly obvious. As we've been singing this morning about the grace of God, that God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. There are a lot of people walking around who are dead spiritually. Aren't you thankful that because of Jesus and what he's done for us, that we are alive in Christ? In Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 3 through 5, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We died with him. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, then certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what baptism is. It is a a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus that's carried out in our lives when we die to sin, we're buried in the waters of baptism, and we're raised to walk in a new life. We read about this also in Colossians the second chapter, beginning in verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So certainly, even as circumcision was a sign of a covenant relationship with God under the old law, then baptism is a sign of a covenant relationship with God under the new law. Because of Jesus Christ, because of his death, we die with him, we're buried with him, and we're raised from our sins and forgiven all of our trespasses. You're also spiritually dead if you don't remain in Christ. If you are not faithful to him for the remainder of your life and faithful to his word. We read again in Romans the sixth chapter, beginning verse 7. He who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We are to live a life of holiness, a life that is set apart for God, a life that those who are in the world about us can see and observe and desire to imitate. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit, that's obviously Christians, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. How many times have we heard in the religious world that once you become a Christian, you can't fall away? But this passage teaches us that we can. That if we are not living according to the will of God, that we fall away and stand the chance that we could never come back to God. You're also spiritually dead if you don't work in the kingdom of God. Notice what is said in James, the second chapter. And by the way, we began a study on the book of James in our Bible class this morning. I encourage those of you who are not coming to Bible class to join us in that study. But James said, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now, James makes it very clear that our faith must be a responsive faith. It must be an obedient faith. It must be a faith that works, that does the things that God has told us to do. And he uses the illustration of the demons. He says, well, they believe, they know that God is God. They know that Jesus is the Christ, but they don't respond in obedient faith. They even shudder, but they don't show their works for God. I'm sure that you remember the parable of the talents. You recall that the master gave 5 talents to one servant who then went out and made another 5 talents. And he also gave 2 talents to another servant who made another 2 talents. And the master declared them as good and faithful servants. Matthew 25. But the master gave the 3rd servant 1 talent according to his ability. And that servant went out and hid the talent in the ground. He didn't do anything with it. And the master was extremely displeased with him. And he said, "You wicked and lazy slave." He also said, "Cast out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We all have responsibilities. Responsibilities that God has given to us, and responsibilities that have been given to us by the leaders of this congregation. We need to carry out those responsibilities. We need to do the things that we have committed to do, whether it be to God or to this church. But someone may say, "Well, that makes you a work salvationist." No, it doesn't at all. It makes me a true believer in the Word of God. Do any of you really believe that you can do enough good works to save yourself? I don't know of anybody that believes that. Only God can save you through Jesus Christ. But he won't save you if you're doing things against his will or if you're not doing anything at all. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. We, again, sang about the grace. I appreciate those songs. "You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, because by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, that's clear language. We were dead, as the rest of the world, but in Christ we came alive. He made us alive together with him, and by grace you have been saved. There's no one who can be saved without the grace of God. We certainly, we certainly have to have an active faith, but we do have to have faith. He goes on, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, how? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There are things that we need to do. There are things that we must do if this church is to even just maintain itself, much less grow. There are people that we need to be involved with, members of this congregation who are struggling, who are hurting with health issues or other issues. There are things that we need to do to boost the faith of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and in so doing, boost our own faith. There are things that we need to do, even as Alan pointed out in the announcements, as the plus one. We need to serve one person or more, and we need to hopefully be able to discuss with them the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Bring them to Christ. Are there any examples of people who were once alive in Christ who died spiritually? Of course, we know of Demas. Almost all of us know about Demas. He once had been listed as a fellow laborer with Paul and Luke and Mark and Aristarchus. Some big names there, names of faith. But eventually, he let the world take hold of him. And he forsook Paul. And in so doing, he forsook the Lord. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. We can think of the church in Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, and that's Jesus Christ himself. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Those of us who overcome, those who keep on moving, those who keep on doing the will of God are the ones that Jesus is talking about that will be among the saved, that will have their names in the book of life. And I dare say that everyone who's here this morning knows of someone who was once alive in Christ and is now dead to him. These are the kinds of people we need to be praying for, encouraging, helping in any way that we can, helping them to come back to God if it's not too late. Yes, you are wanted, dead or alive. And there is a reward offered for you. Satan wants you spiritually dead. And his reward is not too great. It is eternal punishment in hell. But God wants you spiritually alive. And he gave his only begotten Son so that you can live with him eternally in heaven. The question before you and the question before me today is, which will it be? If there's anyone who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, we hope that you will take this opportunity today to do so while we stand and sing.